This is DMOU, Destination Marketing Organization University, the DMO Sectors Podcast, and I'm your host, Bill Geist. DMOU is where you hear the best and the brightest in the destination marketing space, sharing innovative and compelling stories to inspire you to take your destination and organization to the next level. The format for our conversations on DMOU is elegantly simple. It's three questions and a bonus round. And today's episode is sponsored by our friends at SearchWide Global, the premier executive search firm in the DMO space. Mike Gamble and his team uncover the talent out there that isn't looking, meaning that clients get a far richer candidate base from which to choose than just placing ads in pubs and online. If you're looking for a new opportunity or looking for the perfect candidate, call them. You can learn more at searchwideglobal.com. And now it's on to our show. Sarah Miller was named Destination Ann Arbor's CEO in December of 2022. Prior to that position, she had served in various operations, finance, HR functions since her original hire in 2001. During that time, Sarah contributed to the organization, increasing their tax rate by 3% and a merger of two DMOs into one, among many other accomplishments. She serves on many boards in the county, including the Main Street Area Association, the A2Y Chamber of Commerce, the South and West Washtenaw Consortium's Hospitality and Tourism Program Advisory Committee, the University of Michigan's Natural History Museum, among others. Sarah is a certified tourism ambassador and holds a Destinations International DEI Leadership Series certification. A graduate from Eastern Michigan University, Sarah also holds degrees in accounting, business management, and social sciences. Prior to her position at Destination Ann Arbor, Sarah worked in the manufacturing and public accounting industries in finance. She resides in Ann Arbor with her husband and two children. Sarah Miller, welcome to DMOU.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, and it was great to see you at the Board Leadership for Destination Symposium a couple of weeks ago. It was one of those things, and it's not unlike when we go to Destinations International, right? I mean, there's so many people, everything's moving so fast, and you see somebody across the hall and you go, I'm going to go over there, but they're talking to somebody, so I'll wait and I'll catch them in the next hour. And the next hour comes and the same thing happens and you're somewhere else. We never, ever got a chance to say hi, but thank you for coming to the symposium. And we hope that your board members really enjoyed the content.
Absolutely. And I'd highly recommend that symposium to anyone that's listening. Great content, especially with board members who get what we do, but not always get what we do. So it was a great conference.
And that's really why we designed it, because you're right. Board members come with great ideas. They come with great influence and great ability. I often liken board members to the great Ben Franklin quote of what is a sundial in the shade? And a sundial in the shade is well-designed, good-looking, great potential. It's, you know, wow. But in the shade, it does nothing. And getting them into the sunlight is really the whole point of that symposium and getting them really to understand that we're different than most nonprofit boards. And I think that their role within changes as well. So your first question, and one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you on this edition of DMOU, is it's not exactly the Wild West, but DMOs that are entering the world of NIL, which stands for name, image, and likeness, is a pretty new arena for DMOs, pun intended. So NIL is about collegiate athletics and having those athletes represent a brand, a product, or a service, which up until now, up until the past couple of years, was verboten. Couldn't do that. And now you can. So Destination Ann Arbor has entered into this fascinating new marketing opportunity. So tell us about NIL and how you're making that work for you.
Would love to. And let me say officially that we're still in our infancy. So a lot of the data and metrics we're looking to uncover will come. And this final product has probably been, oh, I don't know, I'd say maybe three or four iterations that didn't quite get off the ground. So really, we've been working on this for about a year and a half. And I am all for giving credit where credit is due, Bill. This was really something that was a conversation with Taylor McGurk, who's now with Adara, originally banned Wango when we had this conversation. And his idea was something a little bit different than what it became. But it was a conversation that started with a player's pass. And that kind of falling into the NIL, we're a natural fit, obviously, with the University of Michigan in our backyard. Ann Arbor is like the quintessential awesome college town. So there was a lot there for us that we felt we had some meat to do something with. Truth be told, when we started looking at this, it was just coming off the ground. The NIL, the exchanges, just starting. And we had our sights set on a few different pretty high level athletes, student athletes in some of the major sports. And this was something where you thought, okay, well, you know, a cost for an athlete, you know, maybe $1,000, $2,000, and they'll come and eat in our restaurants or something of that nature. It exploded well beyond what we thought we could even manage. And I'm still flabbergasted at what the industry as a whole, and obviously a lot of for-profit has been playing in this space. So they're able to contribute several thousand dollars to these student athletes for very little effort on their part, which is great for the student athletes. You know, this is a new world for them. And I think it really is a benefit to the student, but it was something of a learning curve for us that first go around. So once we got kind of our thoughts in place, we actually partnered with, I'm not sure, do you know who Sam Webb is?
I don't.
Okay. Sam is behind Michigan Insiders, for those that are Michigan fans. He also has several different radio shows and just recently started one called Steady Droppin' Dimes. It's Daniel Horton and Devin Gardner with Sam Webb and the Steady Droppin' Dimes episodes, where they talk about sports, everything you can think of. And we partnered with them to do kind of an Ann Arbor highlight. And that turned into this My Ann Arbor segment. We wanted people to understand what, while leveraging the University of Michigan brand, what Ann Arbor outside of sports could mean for you and could mean for the athletes. We didn't want to pigeonhole the experience. I know a lot of people go into it thinking we want you to go to this place, and this place, and tell us what you think. We wanted it to be a true, authentic experience. We wanted the athlete to choose the places that they were interested in, the places they wanted to check out and see. And Sam is a great host, if you've ever seen him. So he accompanies our athletes around, and they have a great conversation while checking out the interests of the athlete. It's been very cool. Again, just started this. So it just kind of went live early January. We're putting it all on Destination Ann Arbor's social channels, but it is also part of our agreement with Will and Sam for them to post as well. And Will alone, Will Johnson, who was our first athlete, he is the, if you caught the championship game, happens to be the MVP defensive player of the year.
Right.
That was lucky for us. We didn't know that going in. So that was real lucky for us. And he's an amazing athlete. He has 64,000 followers. So alone for that investment, we're getting his level of exposure, which is incredible. Sam is equally connected in his channels. So it's been a great partnership for us, for sure.
So tell me about Will. Amazing student athlete, obviously a good guy, someone that you feel confident representing the destination. You love his take on, you know, how he is traversing the community, learning the community, experiencing the community. Tell me what it was that focused you on Will, because you, as you said at the outset, you know, you looked at some of the other athletes that may have been higher marquee, at least going into this season, and the price tag was pretty high. Will's was not. I'm sure it's getting higher now. But how did you focus on Will?
That's a great question. And especially when we're seeing the headlines that cover the scandal pages with the sports folks sometimes that you see, it's a challenge, right? You have to kind of have a little bit of trust in that.
Yeah.
And so Sam is really who our connection was. He is an amazing connector. He knows the athletes incredibly well. We have a trusted relationship with Sam. So it was through a lot of conversation with Sam and his knowledge that we were able to identify an athlete we thought could really represent Ann Arbor and our community well.
That's great. And so tell us how you're currently utilizing him. I mean, yeah, he's going out to restaurants, he's doing experiences. How does that play into your overall strategy? How are you using him?
Well, it's all about experiences, right? I mean, that's what we've been talking about as destinations now for quite some time. And I can feed you an experience, but unless you're either seeing it through someone else's eyes or feeling it through someone else's eyes, you're not likely to do it. And that's kind of what our thought process was here, is like, let's see how it feels for someone to go through this experience that can be relatable. As an athlete and as in this channel, you already have an engaged market. That's the benefit and the beauty of this. You've got alumni and fans who want to experience what Will Johnson is experiencing.
Yeah.
It's a built-in play that's just something we can capitalize on for sure.
Very cool. Very cool. So in one of the articles that announced your promotion to CEO a couple of years ago, you said, and I quote, "I know the importance of return on investment, looking at what we do through that lens and evaluating to know that we will get the best return for our investment is really, really helpful." So I know that you're only one football season in, and what a year to have the national championship as part of your marketing mix and messaging. What can you tell us about, just anecdotally, I know it just started, but what are you sensing that Will is bringing to the table for you, and what's next?
We struggle with that, I think, as destinations with what is an ROI, right? You can point to eyes on an ad.
Right.
You can point to listeners for podcasts, but you don't really know the impacts of that. And this is another portion of this project that I think is pretty exciting, is the engagement. And that's what we're kind of counting on, between that and how long are people engaging with our sites, with our pages. And as it is now, on average, folks are spending about 40 seconds on our website pages. On this particular page, it's a minute 26.
Wow. Okay. I'm in.
Right? That's for itself.
Right.
The engagement is there. So people are, they're engaged. And that's what we're showing and seeing at this very early stages. That's very exciting to us. It's the 16th among 80 blog stories that we have, with very little push at the present moment. We are in the process of getting this out into different alumni channels. As I mentioned, Will and Sam will also be sharing this segment. We only anticipate this to grow considerably.
So what is next? You've done the initial. You're getting great response as far as time on page. Where does this go next?
I'm glad you asked. I think the possibilities are endless. So the initial strategy behind this was to start with Will and then to expand into different student athletes of all sports, all kinds, male, female, gymnasts, hockey players, whoever we think is the most engaged. And really, we're looking at students who can represent the brand, obviously, is number one, but two, can also have a large presence and engagement from their social, and maybe I will even say our feeder cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have someone with a hometown, and Chicago is a feeder city, so if you have a hometown, highly engaged student athlete from the Chicago area, a drive market to us, we're hoping that means more engagement of folks that want to come to Ann Arbor, because their hometown athlete loves it and says a lot of great things about it and has that experience. So looking at expanding that into those areas. And then we've even toyed with taking it past sports. And we'll see how that continues to engage for us. But taking it into other avenues, artists, there are a lot of different folks that either call Ann Arbor home or have stopped by and is Ann Arbor is one of their favorite towns. So being able to experience some of those different things, I mean, I'm sure you know about a lot of famous folks whose children come to the University of Michigan.
Sure.
So you've always got someone passing by and can experience it through their eyes. So I think our opportunities are endless with this, which is really exciting as we kind of look to the future and how we can expand this campaign.
You know, I hadn't thought of NIL beyond collegiate, and NIL is collegiate, but the whole concept really gets into almost influencers, people who we know, who we respect, that find your community to be perfect for them. Here in Madison, we've got a very prominent, nationally known, globally known author who's not from here, but his wife went to school here. And he's back all the time because he loves Madison. And, you know, how do you play upon that and make that a reason that somebody else is going to go, well, if James really digs it here, maybe I should check that place out. I think it's a fascinating concept to take what we're learning with NIL and then build it out beyond collegiate.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny how we've seen with reality TV and how that has transitioned through social media and influencing how many people want to do what they see someone else experience, someone else they trust, right?
Yeah.
And whether they know that person or not doesn't seem to always matter. It's just that they've done something to influence someone else. So using that celebrity is the way to go.
Very, very cool. So beyond NIL, and I know that it's too early to really put a number on it, but I think that the number that you just shared, which is time on page, is all I need to say, let's try that some more. Let's change over to your transition. Speaking of your promotion to the big chair, you started as an intern at Destination Ann Arbor in 2001 while you were in college. It's been just over a year since you were named CEO. With over 20 years in the organization, you likely believed that you knew everything about the job. Has anything surprised you since taking the reins in December of 22?
Everything and nothing. How's that? Everything and nothing. You know, you're right, although I will correct you. I did not start as an intern.
Ah, okay.
I did start as a finance administrator, but I was still going to school during that time.
Okay.
I was working full-time and going to school. That's how I got my degree. So we did start that way. And you're right. When I started, we were eight people. We had a budget of only about $1 million at that time.
Yep.
So before COVID, we were up to about a $7 million budget and 27 staff members. So I grew up with this organization.
Wow.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
It grew and I grew at the same time. It really, it's probably the only place in my true adult life that I've known.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of great, interesting points with that, as you mentioned. You know, I saw Mary Kerr, which most everyone in the industry knows, who was with the organization for 27 years, and watched her and her daily ins and outs of the position. But until you sit in the chair, you don't know.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people like to make that, myself included. I know what it's going to be like. I am prepared. I understand. You don't know. You just don't until you're sitting in that chair. And then it takes a different perspective. And it's a challenge that I love, to be honest. I really do. I don't think I'd be in this organization as long as I was if I didn't love the people in this community, if I didn't love Washtenaw County and everything it stands for and all of its intricacies, I wouldn't be here. Not this long. Not for, I guess it's going to go on 23 years. And it's an interesting shift, but a good one. It really is.
Tell me about the merger, because for years, there was the Ann Arbor DMO and there was the Ypsilanti DMO.
Yep.
And as sister cities across this nation, we know that most of the time, the visitor really, and you know, this is no shot at Ypsilanti, that, you know, of course you're different than Ann Arbor, but no, you're not. You know, it's one community. And I know it was painful when it happened. There was a lot of back and forth, but you were at the epicenter of that. Tell us a little bit about the merger.
It wasn't pretty. That's for sure. You know, what's a shame, I think, to me about that, you have two communities that you mentioned, and it is true. They are very different. What you see, though, is passion from both communities, and passion for them to have their own voices, passion for them to be represented in a way that makes them proud. And I respected that from both community partners, anyone that felt very strongly about that. I did. I absolutely respected it. What folks I don't think always understood, and this is true of us everywhere, is what does a DMO do? While we're representing both areas, we're representing both areas to a visitor.
Right.
And that's a person who doesn't know boundaries. They don't know where one city starts and another begins. And so while the inside didn't appreciate it, what I'm trying to get through, and still to this day try to get through, is that we are here to talk about how all of our communities are different, how they're all interesting, what they all can bring to the table so that everybody rises together. And we continue to do that. I think we're getting better at doing that. I think we're getting better. We're doing a brand refresh, actually finishing up here in about a month or so, where we're focusing even more on individuality of our communities and how we can cross promote that voice in that different way to the right groups of people where it resonates. And so people can be proud of the brand. We want that to happen. We want you to be proud of where you're from. They already are. So let me just give you a voice to be able to do that with that you feel good about.
Yeah. We did some work a number of years ago in the Quad Cities, which is it's the five cities. I know it's called the Quad Cities, but it's the five cities that are on the Illinois and Iowa sides of the Mississippi. And every one of those cities has an absolutely different vibe. But individually, none of them have the resources to say, hey, I'm Rock Island, or hey, I'm Davenport. You've got to merge those resources into, hey, we are the Quad Cities. And that was really the deal, because the difference between Rock Island and Davenport is night and day. You can feel it. When you come across the bridge, it's just a different thing. And the same thing, I think, goes for a lot of our communities, including yours. And people in Rock Island, not unlike Ypsilanti, are saying, hey, we like being different, but we are the same. And so I appreciate the pain that you went through to make that happen. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to play off for everybody.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of duplicate efforts going on, confusion, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Especially with our sales team. I mean, it wasn't uncommon where I come from the Ann Arbor side, so I can only speak to that side. But walking in our salespeople to a meeting and having the meeting planner say, well, you were just here. Somebody from your office was just here, because we sell Washtenaw County as a whole, you know, so it did create a lot of confusion, a lot of duplication. And I think we're stronger and better for it in the long run, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, it's time for your bonus round question. So we've had some fun in past episodes talking about first jobs. Mine was lifeguarding. And when we were on break, we would oftentimes run next door to the A&W because the concessions at the pool sucked and the girls at the A&W were cute. What was your first job?
Well, maybe I saw you there, Bill, because I was a car hop at the old A&W.
A car hop at the A&W. I love it. Different towns, different years. But yeah.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about that experience and how that kind of motivated you into the hospitality industry.
I grew up in Dexter, Michigan. And at that time, I think we had two restaurants in town, and the A&W was one of them. And they hired at 14, if you can believe that or not. And so at 14, I went and got my first job, and I did not wear roller skates, thank the Lord, because the parking lot was on a very large hill, and I don't think that would have ended well for anyone. So I did not roller skate. But I did have to learn how to make change from one of those little, I don't even, coin.
Oh, those things on your hip?
On the side of your belt.
Yeah.
Where you can't look. Like, I had to practice that for a very long time, if you can believe that. So that you could, you know, you had to be efficient. So you had to make sure that you had that change and could click that little quarter penny nickel. I don't know what that's called. What is that called?
I don't know. I haven't thought of one of those for years. But yeah, we all had them, those of us that were in that business.
So whatever that was, which I can't recall. And then you wouldn't believe how heavy a glass filled with A&W root beer, how heavy one of those things is. And when you have to put four of them on a tray and somehow manage to walk that out and then also clip it onto someone's car window without spilling the entire tray in their car.
Right.
It was a talent. Let me tell you, it was a talent. I did enjoy just the people. It's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
The people that came in, the regulars, the people I worked with, I'm a social person at heart, and being able to be with people was how it started. Yeah.
So cool. And I think that for me, it was more of a circuitous path. But yeah, when I started, I mean, lifeguarding is kind of hospitality in a way. I mean, you're helping people have a good time. You're making sure that they don't get hurt. You know, you're doing all the things that you do, but it is absolutely a people business. And those of us that have been blessed to be in this business, there's nothing better. So, hey, congratulations on your elevation to the big chair and for delving into a really cool new avenue of destination marketing. We can't wait to hear how your foray into NIL pays off in the next couple of years.
Yeah, we'll have to have a part two, Bill.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so we can talk about those results and see how it's grown.
It's a date. Thank you so much. And that's it for this edition of DMOU. Tell your friends and peers this is where the best and the brightest tell their stories. Past episodes of DMOU are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most podcast platforms. So subscribe on your preferred platform and you'll get notified the minute the new episodes drop. Thanks to our sponsor, SearchWide Global, the premier executive search firm in the DMO space. Mike Gamble and his team uncover the talent out there that isn't looking, meaning that clients get a far richer candidate base from which to choose than just placing ads in pubs and online. If you're looking for a new opportunity or looking for the perfect candidate, call them. You can learn more at searchwideglobal.com. DMOpros.com is where you're going to find more on our services to the DMO world, our book Destination Leadership, plus links to the Z News, our knowledge bank, and the biggest DMO job board on the planet, plus links to earlier episodes of DMOU. That's DMOpros with a Z.com. Executive producer of DMOU is Terry White, and this is a production of DMOpros. I'm your host, Bill Geist. Until next time.